Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Good to see all of you here. Appreciate you being here this morning. Enjoyed the preaching of Brother Randy Webb. And I tell you what, there's no way that I can preach like Brother Randy Webb. I wouldn't even try to imitate Brother Randy. There's no way. He's just a man in his own ranks, and I appreciate him. Amen. Such a privilege to be here with you all, and we've been looking forward to this. And I trust that the Lord will just help us through the preaching of the Word of God. And most of all, I'd like to see God move in the altar this morning. And I appreciate the message last night. Brother Shad McDonald is just one of my favorite preachers. I love to hear him break the bread of life and preach to us. And it was a blessing last night to hear the Word of the Lord. I want to be hooked. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if we could, to 1 Kings chapter number 8. While you're turning there, I want to say again, it's my privilege to be here. I appreciate your pastor and his wife and their family and two precious girls that they have. We appreciate them. And I'm glad that they're right here at Bible Holiness Church here at Elkton. I know you're glad as well that they are here. You're blessed of the Lord to have a good pastor that will care for you and preach to you the Word of the Lord. And I know you understand that and you know that, but I just want to reaffirm that in your heart. And I appreciate everything that's been done for us. Thank you for the good room and the little cottage I've been calling it to stay in down the road. And just a wonderful, wonderful place there. Thank you so much. The gift basket that was brought in, it was on the table. I'm not really for sure exactly. I think they said it was Sister Julie that brought it. But I appreciate that very much. May the Lord bless you so much for your kindness to us. 1 Kings chapter number 8 this morning, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9 and read together there as well. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 5 is where we'll start, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'd just like for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to settle down on me. I'll feel a whole lot better, amen, when I feel the Spirit of the Lord just settle in here, amen. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 5, if you have it, say amen. The Bible said in King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told for nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place into the oracle of the house to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I'd like for the Lord to honor and fulfill verse number 11 this morning, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. But I want you to notice verse number 9. He said, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. Turn with me now, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant. We just read about that. Overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Notice verse number 4. The golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Amen. Before we pray, do you see a discrepancy? Do you see something that some non-Bible reader would say, oh, there's a contradiction in the Bible? Hebrews said that there are three things in the Ark of the Covenant. There is a golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and there are the tables of the stone, commandment. But we read here in 1 Kings chapter number 8, he said there was nothing in the ark except for the tables of the stone. I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me this morning, on what the worldly church does not want. What the worldly church does not want. Can we pray one more time? Heavenly Father, I pray that the word of God would be honored this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would stand this preacher an anointing. You would give me liberty. Lord, I pray that you would bring everything back to my mind that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, let me preach it just like it needs to be preached. Give me your liberty. But most of all, Lord, I pray you'd move in this house. Lord, would you challenge us, stir us, and then, God, would you fill us with your power that the preacher preached on this morning. Lord, we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching to you this morning, as I've already said, on what the worldly church does not want. Amen. You see, there seems to be a discrepancy between our text this morning, but really there is a very simple explanation of it. The explanation is that the Philistines had stolen some of the contents of the ark. For you remember that the ark was taken in the time of battle. The Philistines brought it in, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they brought it into their temple of Dagon. Amen. While they had it, they took some things from it. Amen. Do you realize today that we are living in a day of change? Amen. Amen. We live in a day of change. It seems like everything and everyone is changing. And that's why I appreciate good men and good women of God. Amen. That stick with the stuff and don't change. Amen. Amen. We live in a day of change. But the Word of God has never changed. Praise God. And it will not change. Amen. We live in an hour when the world is trying to change. And even the church world is trying to change Pentecost into charismatic. Hey, but there is a vast difference between the two. If you look at the description of a charismatic, you will find that Webster says this, that the charismatic is a religious group that emphasizes healing, powers, and gifts. Amen. They put the emphasis on the healing. They put the emphasis on the power. They put the emphasis on the gift. Amen. But they ignore the doctrine of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, nowadays the worldly church is bragging that they don't preach doctrine anymore. But friend, that's the definition of a charismatic. But the definition of a Pentecostal is a Bible-based experience of the Holy Ghost infilling a follower of Christ that results in the power to live the Christ life. I thank God that I am Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm not backing up. Opponent. Amen. I am proud to be Pentecost. Amen. Thank God. Amen. There is a power which is the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. That is a power to witness for God. It is a power to walk in the Spirit. It is a power to win over temptation. It is a power to win over the world. It is the power to win over the devil. Aren't you glad that you are Pentecostal? Aren't you glad that you have experienced the power of the Most High God in your life? Oh, yes. You see, but there is a difference in Pentecost and charismatic. The religious world has tried to intermingle them. They have tried to make them the same. But there is a difference. And the difference is what the worldly church does not want. Amen. Amen. Years ago, Brother Bill Burkett wrote a little booklet, and he entitled it, Pentecostals Are Not Charismatics. In the middle of that little booklet, he had a chart.
and he began to outline the differences between Pentecost and charismatic. He said pure doctrine is what even the apostles taught, and the doctrine of devils is what the charismatics teach. Amen. He said we as Pentecostals have had truth, but the charismatics have replaced it with convenience. Amen. The Pentecostals have emphasized character, but the charismatics, they promote personality. Amen. The Pentecostals believe in anointing. Amen. But the charismatics call it charisma. Amen. Pentecost was based on repentance, but now it's become forgiveness. Amen. We have sacrifice, but they have prosperity. We believe in prayer, but they preach on praise. Amen. We believe in obedience, but they make it optional. Amen. We still stand on modesty, but they have turned to a world of glamour. Amen. We still preach separation and holiness, but they've replaced it with worldliness. We still stand on the doctrine of the Word of God, but they have turned it to philosophy and psychology. We believe in the law of the gospel. Amen. They've replaced it with lasciviousness. Amen. We believe in the love of God. They believe in sentimentalism. Amen. We still practice old time worship, but they've turned to entertainment. I'm preaching to you today, there is a difference between what we are and what they are. We are not the same. I'm glad that I'm Pentecostal, and I don't want to turn to charismatic. I don't want it to influence me. I don't want it to direct me. Amen. But I want to stick with the stuff. I want to stand by the truth. I want to build my life on the Word of God, for it will not shake in an hour of shaking things. Help us, Lord. The worldly churches of today are trying to pick and choose what they want from old time holiness. And there are some things that they love, Brother Gabbard. Amen. They love the shout. Oh yeah, they love the shout. They love the gifts. Amen. They love that anointing that they have. Amen. They want that. They desire it. They covet it. Amen. They love what they feel like. Amen. It's goosebumps running up and down their spine. But there are some things that the worldly church, amen, could have had a long time ago. But they decided they'd rather have the world instead of having what we have. Amen. They have made a decision in their heart of what direction they wanted to go, and they turned away from what we have. Amen. But I want to stick with what the Word of God has for us. Notice here, I need to just slow down and preach to you this morning. Notice, first of all, the symbolism of the ark. For everything in the tabernacle of God was symbolic. It was a picture of Christ that was to come. You see, they had the outer coverings of the tabernacle, and they were ugly goat skins and ram's skins and badger skins. They were not beautiful at all to look at. But inside of the tabernacle was beautiful with gold and silver, amen, and brass. It sparkled and it shined. It was absolutely amazing. Doesn't that speak to us of Christ? For Isaiah said there was no comeliness in him. Amen. There was nothing that we should desire him. Amen. But yet he was so beautiful and so wonderful. Amen. There was nothing on the outside, but oh, what a power. Amen. That was on the inside. Amen. The gold in the tabernacle represents his deity. The brass shows his judgment. The silver represents his redemption. The table of showbread says he is the bread of life. Even the table, the candlestick says he is the perfect light of the world. The altar of sin incense reminds us that he is our intercessor, that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh yeah, it all speaks of Jesus. It all points to Christ. Amen. It's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Amen. Can we give him the praise this morning? For it all pointed to him. But the Ark of the Covenant is symbolic as well. Amen. First of all, it represents God's presence. The ark symbolized the presence of God. For the Shekinah glory of God would hover above the ark. Amen. There was a cloud that would shield them. Amen. From that blazing light of His glory. Amen. Wherever the ark was, the presence of the Lord would settle down upon it. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have the presence of God with us? Ah, hallelujah. As we honor Christ, as we exalt Him, as we lift Him up, amen, the Shekinah glory fills the house and touches our lives. And friend, I made up my mind. I don't want to trade anything for the glorious presence of God. Not only God's presence, but it also symbolizes God's propitiation. Amen. That's a great big word that simply means the appeasement of God's wrath. Amen. You see, God was satisfied only by a sacrifice of blood. That's the only thing that would appease God. Amen. But on the Day of Atonement, the blood of a lamb was sprinkled on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which is called the mercy seat. Amen. And it covered the broken law of God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I said, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. For we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank God for the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It's the blood that saved you. It's the blood that redeemed you. It's the blood that cleaned you up. It's the blood, the blood, the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Amen. Aren't you glad for the propitiation, the appeasement of God's wrath by the power of the blood? Not only God's presence and God's propitiation, but on the inside of the ark, there are three things, remember? The first one represents God's provision. It is that golden pot of manna. Amen. There was a representation or a reminder to the children of God about how God provided for them food in the wilderness. Oh, help me preach, Lord. Amen. That pot of manna was put in there just to remind them, I've provided for you and I'll not stop providing. And can I remind somebody this morning, amen, that He still said in the Word of God, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. I'm glad that we still have that. Amen. But inside the ark also was Aaron's rod that budded. And that represented God's power. Amen. It was a demonstration of the power of God. And you see, a dead limb off of a tree is not supposed to bud again, but by the power of God, amen, He moved on a rod and brought buds back and brought life back. Amen. Thank God for the power, amen, that moves among us. I still believe in miracles. I still believe in healings. I still believe in signs and wonders. Amen. I still believe in the power of God, and He's got power over life and power over death. Thank God for the power that's in the Holiness Church. But then there were the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. They are God's precepts. Amen. It was God's Word. Brother McCoy, it was written with the very finger of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the Word. The preacher man was just preaching to us a few minutes ago about the power of the Word. Can I tell you, I love the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. I love the Word of God. I said I love the Word of God. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I know that it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Jesus was the living Word, and we have the spoken Word, the written Word of God in our hands. Amen. I don't need an NIV. I don't need an NASB. Amen. I don't need any of that because I believe I've got the King James Version and it's good enough for us in this hour, for it is still the Word of God. Can I tell you, we must obey the Word, for we will be judged by the Word. I say thank God for the Bible. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It is honey to my soul. It's bread for my body. It's meat and milk to me. It is everything I need. It's a sword to cut through, a hammer to break it open. It's all you need, my friend. Oh, I thank God for the Word. I love it. I exalt it. I want to honor it. I want to preach it. I want to build my life on it. I want to build my ministry on it. I want a church that's built on the Word of God. Paul said in Corinthians, we are begotten by the gospel. We are begotten by the gospel. I thank God for the ever living, never dying Word of God. Hey, man, the symbolism of the ark. God's presence, God's propitiation. Inside, God's provision, God's power, God's precepts. But now I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, for just a few minutes on the stealing of the ark. For in 1 Samuel chapter number 4, the ark was stolen in battle by the Philistines. Remember the story? Hey man, the Israelites were not doing well in a certain battle with the Philistines. So they took the ark of God into battle with them. That's not where it was supposed to be. They carried it into battle that day, trying to use it as a good luck charm. And in the midst of that battle, they lost the ark. The Philistines captured it. Oh my, the Philistines were excited. They thought this was the greatest thing that had ever happened. They began to think that if they had the God of Israel with them, He was on their side now. And so they took the ark, the presence of God, and they put it in their temple with their fish god, Dagon. Don't you ever doubt it. There's something fishy about that worldly church. Amen. Something just don't smell right about that worldly church. It's fishy. Amen. Hallelujah. But we know and you know that this was not going to work. For God's presence will not abide with other gods. He is the one true living God. And He will not share His glory with a false god. Amen. You wonder why you can't feel the power of God in your life while you're living after a false god of this world? It's because He will not abide still today with a false god in a false temple. He could not coexist with Dagon. He would not abide with their idols or tolerate their wickedness. And the Word of God still says today, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? And what fellowship hath the temple of God with idols? Amen. That's why when you indulge in the gods of this world, you cannot feel the power of God of heaven and earth moving in your life, because He will not coexist. Amen. So on the first night, amen, they closed the temple down. But in the middle of the night, Brother Gabbard, amen, the presence of God reached over and knocked Dagon in the back of the head and knocked him flat down on his face and said, if you're going to be in my presence, you're going to have to humble yourself and bow yourself before me. Amen. They came in the next morning and stood him back up and said, my, my, what happened? Amen. But on the second night, brother, amen, God reached over there again, amen, and knocked him on the back of the head. He knocked him so hard, Brother Shad, that he knocked his head off, and then he knocked his hands off, and he said, listen, son, You're going to have to humble yourself before me. Amen. For you are not the head. I am. And you're not the hands that'll move and touch. I am. Amen. He said, I am God. And then the Philistines realized something. Amen. We don't want this God among us. We can't keep this God and all the gods that we've been serving. And so we don't want this God. Amen. I told you I'm preaching on what the worldly church does not want. And what they don't want is they don't want a God that they have to bow to and honor and get rid of every other God in order to have him. Amen. That's what they don't want. And so right there the Philistines missed their greatest chance. They could have had God. Amen. They could have got rid of every other God and served the one true living God. But they made their decision. Can I preach a little while? The worldly church has had their opportunity to feel the presence of God. Amen. They've been among us. They know what it's like to feel the power of God. They know what it's like to feel the presence of the Lord. They've seen the miracles. They've seen the power. They've seen his provision. But they have made a decision. I don't want that God. I don't want to bow to him. I don't want to honor him. I don't want to pay the price to have him. Amen. They made their decision. We don't want that God. But friend, I made my decision as well. I want him. I said I want him. Amen. I want him over everything. I want him over everybody. I want him. Notice the first thing they did is they loathed it. They hated it. The Philistines got what they wanted, but they didn't want what they got. Oh, help me preach, Lord. And once they realized what the presence of God was all about, they didn't want it. You see, the problem with the worldly church is this. They would rather keep their idols and worship their false God and live in their wicked ways than have the awesome presence of God. Oh, I need to preach. You may continue, amen, putting something else before God. But you hear the preacher this morning. You won't keep God's presence. Ah, help me preach, Lord. You might continue with your worldly living. You might continue on in your own ways. You might go on, as the preacher preached last night, amen, living for yourself, but you will not continue it in the presence of God. You may go ahead and waltz down to the ball game, but you won't do it with the Holy Ghost and the Bible God of heaven and earth in your heart. Amen. You've got to make a decision. What do you really want? You've got to make a choice. Either I love him or I loathe him. Either I hunger for him or I hate him. Amen. Are you willing to go without a revival of his presence just so you can keep your worldly lifestyle? Amen. I say give thee Jesus and take this whole world, for I want the power of God. Are you willing to have a form with no power just so you can keep your little gods on the side? Hey, pastor, are you willing to compromise to get a crowd even if it costs you the cloud of glory? Are you willing to let the word of God be watered down, be desecrated, be dishonored in your church in order to keep the crowd? You've got to make up your mind. I love him. I love his word. I love his presence. I love him. Amen. You've got to make up your mind. What do you want? Either you love him or you're going to leave him. There have been many walk away. There's some that used to be with us that are no longer with us, and it's because they didn't love him. They did not love him, and they loathed him, so they left him. Friend, are you on your way out? Are you on your way back? Are you on your way down? Amen. If you are, you better fall in love with him again. Hallelujah. But notice, while they loathed it, they looted it. They stole out of the very ark of God. For when the ark was sent back to Israel, some things were missing. Aaron's rod that budded and the pot of manna had been taken out of the ark. They said, "We don't want his presence." But they had it in their midst long enough that they saw a few things they did want. Amen. Ah, you know as well as I know that the whirlings of the church world have watched the holiness people. And they've liked some of the things they saw. But they decided they didn't want to pay the price to have what we have. Help me preach. Feels tight right here. Amen. Amen. The worldly charismatic church doesn't want the real presence of God because it costs them too much. Amen. But they've been around us enough that they said, "Boy, they've got some things I wish we had." And so they tried to grab a hold of them and take them back to their worldly church. Amen. That's what they did. Amen. They looked in the Ark of the Covenant and said, "We don't want that law. We don't want that commandment. But we sure want that provision. We sure want that power." And they pulled them out. Amen. That's what the worldly church has done. We don't want that holiness way of living. But we'd sure like to have the power. We'd sure like to have his provision. Amen. So they tried to steal it and take it back to their worldly church. Look at that, the power of God. Aaron's rod that budded. Amen. The church has tried. The worldly church has tried to claim that power. Amen. As in their own. They want to boast of healing. They want to talk about miracles. They want to talk about signs and wonders. They want to be able to say we cast out devils. They want to be able to say we speak in another tongue. They want to be able to say that they've got power in their ministry. Amen. They have a power. But it is not the power of the Holy Ghost. It is not the power of God. They do have a spirit. But it is not the spirit of God. It is not the spirit that you and I feel. For if you are living in known sin, you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. You may shout in a revival, but it's not the Holy Ghost. You may speak in an unknown tongue, but it's so unknown that heaven doesn't even know what it is. Amen. They tried to steal the power, but the worldly church, amen, could not care less about the cloud of glory. They're worried about a crowd. They're worried about a name. They're worried about a reputation, but I want old time Holy Ghost power. They tried to steal the provision, the pot of manna. Hey man, isn't this an aspect of God that they have completely twisted? They have taken God's provision and they have turned it into prosperity. So where now they say, if you're not wealthy, you're sinning. You don't have faith. And if you're sick, you must have sinned in your life. Amen. We had a lady at home in our home church when I was growing up. Got caught up in that. Brother Gabbard, she believed if you've sinned, if you're sick, you've sinned. One day our pastor was visiting the hospital. And he looked at all the records of who was there that had claimed Pentecostal as their denomination. And he came across her name. And so he walked into her hospital room. She tried to climb out the window to get away because she didn't want the preacher to think she had sinned. Your doctrine's messed up if you believe it's sin that brings sickness. For there's sick people right here today that haven't sinned. Amen. Whoa, hallelujah. I must move on. Notice not only that provision they tried to steal, but look at the precepts of God. They didn't want it. We don't want his commandments. Those tables of stone are just too hard for us. I'd like to have that power that Brother Johnny Gabbard has, but the way he preaches is just too hard. I'd like to have that anointing that Brother Shad has on his life. But that holiness doctrine he preaches is just way too tight. Amen. I just can't have all of that. Amen. So they've decided, I don't want anything to do with them. The worldly church didn't want the pure, unadulterated, undiluted word of God. Amen. It was too hard and too restrictive. They wanted to have something else. Amen. Can I preach to you now? The worldly churches have ceased to preach righteousness and godliness to the world. Amen. Now their emphasis is on miracles and prosperity. Any preaching that avoids holiness and separation from the world is a failure at its calling. To speak of holiness of life or purity of heart, and especially holiness, which is separation from the world, makes you an outcast. Amen. Denominational leaders of our day have sold their souls on the altar of unity, and holiness has one thing at the top of their list, and that is a holy life. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The worldly church wants to pick and choose what they take from us. Amen. But friend, you can't do that. You take the whole word of God, or you take none of it. You take the whole word of God, or you take none of it. But what I must preach this morning is I see that trend coming into the holiness church as well. Amen. They say, I'd like to eat the meat and spit out the bones, but I came to preach to you today that there are no bones in there. It's all meat. It's all meat. It'll all bless your soul. It'll all work in your heart. Be glad you've got a preacher. Be glad you've got a pastor that'll stand flat-footed, square his shoulders back, and preach you the word of God. And don't spit any of it back out, for it's all nourishing. It's all help. It's all encouragement. It's all just what you need. People are trying to pick and choose what they take from the Word of God. If it steps on your toes, ignore it. If it gets too tight, we hear it, but we don't heed it. Amos said that there is going to be a time when there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. There is no famine of the preaching of the Word of God. You're just spitting out too much meat with your bones. That's why the preacher, can I preach a little while? That's why the preacher can get in the pulpit and preach about your television. And you can say, man, hoop and holler, and run back home and watch your Netflix. It's because you think you're spitting out meat bones, but you're spitting out meat. Amen. That's why the preacher can preach on your jewelry. Amen. And you think it's just a little too bony for you. And so you spit it out. And though you're not wanting to wear the gold and the jewelry like that. Amen. Now they want to slip a little rubber band around their wrist. Amen. And say, we're going to support cancer. Amen. Research. And we're going to live strong. Amen. It's still an adorning of the flesh. It is still sin. It is still unrighteous before God. It is still jewelry in the eyes of the Lord. And you're just spitting out meat. Amen. That's why the preacher can preach on makeup. And you won't paint your eyelids. But you'll go ahead and paint your nails clear. You're spitting out meat. Amen. That's why the preacher preaches on movies. And you go to YouTube. That's why when he preaches on Facebook, you sign up to Instagram. You're still swallowing the wrong stuff. Amen. You need to get the Word of God back in your heart. You're following the track of the worldly church. Amen. Is that why your church is getting more and more worldly all the time? It's because you don't love God's word. It's because you don't preach God's word. I want the Bible from cover to cover. I want the black letters. I want the red letters. I want every bit of it, for it's all inspired. It's all profitable. Preach me the word, preacher. I said, preach me the word. The word of God still says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hey, man. We thought we had the television hammered down. It was dead and gone. Hey, man, but it's resurrected. Woo! I feel dangerous right now. Hey, man. We thought we had it killed, Brother Sly. Surely nobody has TV. But they can sit right in the Holiness Church and claim they don't have TV. But they're still watching their movies. Oh, we don't go to the theater, bless God. We're against that. Hey, amen. You got a theater sound room in your own house. And it doesn't matter if it's Hollywood's house or your house, it's still unholy. Oh, help me, God. Hey, man, this Bible said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh. Well, preacher, it's just got a G rating. I thought that stood for good. It's just PG. That was pretty good. R, I thought that was just right. X, don't that mean excellent? It's got, and we have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker right into the Holiness Church. Amen. But the Word of God still said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It doesn't matter if it's on a television, if it's on the big old drive-in screen. It doesn't matter if it's on your iPhone, on your Galaxy, on your iPad. It doesn't matter where it's at. Amen. If you're setting something wicked before your eyes, it is still ungodly. You are still breaking the law of God. And the fact of the matter is, if it's in your heart, you're going to find a way to do it. Amen. Oh, we've got to get back to where we love the Word. That's the difference between the Holiness people and the worldly church, is we love the Word of God. Preach it to me, preacher. Don't hold back on it. Give me the Bible. Amen. Preach Deuteronomy 22 and let me line up. And let me dress right. Preach 1 Corinthians 11. Preach 1 Timothy 2, 9. Preach it all, preacher. Preach on separation. Amen. I understand that the worldly church doesn't want the true Word of God. But what I don't understand is, why don't you want it? Woo! I must hurry. O.T. Spence. O.T. Spence said, if an earthly movement cannot receive the endorsement of the Word of God, it is false. And those who have found the Word of God in that generation must condemn it with all their heart and all their mind. And I want to plant both of my size 13 double wides. And I want to tell you something. If the Word of God cannot condone you, it condemns you. If you aren't preaching God's book, you're condemned. If your church ain't a holiness church, it's condemned. Amen. I must hurry to a close. God blesses those who honor the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the Word. Amen. I must hurry. Revelation chapter 3, he said, there's only one church that did not get any rebuke. And that was found in Revelation 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, listen to this. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Holy Ghost, speak right now. Amen. When you honor the Word of God, you're going to be a pillar that God will build the holiness movement on in the last days. You want to compromise? Go ahead. But you're not going to hold the holiness movement up. You want to water it down? Go ahead. But you're not going to be a temple in my God's house. Amen. But when you stand for the Word, and when you preach the Word, and when you honor the Word, amen, God builds that church, and God blesses that church. Oh, glory! Amen. That's where the power is in the perilous times, is in the church that preaches the Word. Amen. Preach preach the word. Amen. Truth is falling in the street, but somebody's got to pick it up. And it ain't going to be the worldly church. It's going to be the holiness church. It's the people of God. Lift up the word. Exalt the word. Lift up the Bible. And God will establish your church as a last day preaching center of revival. I'm closing. The situating of the ark. Not only the symbolism, the stealing, but the situating. The people of God got the ark back in their midst in our text today. They loved it and they cherished it. Solomon built a house of God. It was so beautiful, ornate. And they brought that ark in with a great procession. They set it where it belonged. They were so glad to have the presence of God among them. But in that Bible reading this morning, they made note of something. They said, we no longer have the pot of manna. We no longer have Aaron's rod that buds. All we've got is the table of stones and the Ark of the Covenant. And they brought it in and gave it a prominent placement. They put it right where it belonged. They put it in the most holy place. In essence, Brother Gabbard, they are saying back to God, God, if all we can have is your presence and your word, we'll be satisfied with that. Lord, we'll honor your presence in your word. And you may never work another miracle in our lives. You may never, ever, ever let Aaron's rod bud again in our lives. You may never heal our sick wives. You may never answer our prayers. But we're still going to honor the word. Hallelujah. Ha! Lord, you may never provide for us again. And this may be the last beautiful temple that we ever have. We may never be blessed one more time with your provision. But as long as we've got your word, and as long as we've got your presence, it'll be all right. Amen. Just give us your precepts, and let us build our life on it. And let the Shekinah glory come down. Amen. And notice what happened. Amen. When they gave the word a prominent placement, amen, there was a powerful presence. For notice what it said in our text. The glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And it got so rich in there that the priest couldn't even preach anymore. He just had to back up and say, let the Holy Ghost have it. Amen. I preached for you a little while on what the worldly church doesn't want. But can I close out by telling you what the worldly church doesn't have? Amen. They don't have the glorious presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. They don't have the word. They don't want the word, Brother Sly. They don't want old time Bible preaching. They don't want the Ten Commandments. Amen. But what they don't have is they don't have the presence. They don't have that Shekinah glory that comes down on us. Amen. They don't have it like we've got it. Amen. They don't have it like we have it. They can't shout like we shout. They can't worship like we worship. They can't lift up God like we do. Amen. Because they don't have what we've got. They may shout, but they don't have the Shekinah. They may gloat in their prosperity, but they don't have the glory of His presence. And friend, what I want more than anything else is God to be in the house. Stick with holiness. It'll bring the glorious presence. Stick with the word. It'll bring the Shekinah glory. Stick with old time Bible preaching. It still works. It still brings the glory. What I'm looking for in this meeting is the glorious presence of a holy God to fill this sanctuary and fill with the Holy Ghost and heal the sick and raise the dead and revive the saints and restore the church. Oh God, show me your glory. Oh God, show me your glory. Oh God, show us the glory of God in this sanctuary. Rip the heavens back and pour out your spirit. Oh God, give us what the worldly church can never have. Would you lift your hands right now all over the house of the Lord? And would you ask God to fill this house with His Shekinah presence? As somebody comes to the music this morning, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. This is my Bible. I love my Bible. I honor my Bible, for it is God's Word. And Brother Gabbard, as we honor God's Word, He honors us with His presence. Can I just preach for just a couple minutes? Bible holiness, let me speak to you. If you will give God's presence and God's precepts a prominent placement in the house of God, the Shekinah cloud still settles on that right there. And the Holy Ghost will settle in your church and bring a revival like you have begged and pleaded with God for. And right now I'm just looking for somebody that'll say, Lord, if you never do another miracle for Bible holiness, if you never provide one more penny for us, we're still going to be a Bible holiness church. And I'm opening the altar right now for somebody that'll say, I'm going to be a Bible holiness church. And I want His glorious presence to come down and seal this service and seal our church with the Shekinah glory of God.
People, for my eyes still look throughout the earth, searching for those that I might manifest my glory through you to a dark world. But yea, I have brought others to this place. Many have come and looked and walked away, shaking their head at the cost that was too great. But I say unto you today, I have shown you again my word and my way, and my desire is to lift you up and to exalt you and to make you that city upon a hill shining in a dark hour. But come, saith the Lord, rending your heart and not just your garment. Come, accepting all that I have laid before you today. And I will, saith the Lord, if you will keep my word, I will keep you in this hour, saith the Holy Ghost of heaven.
Can we lift our hands to heaven as we make our way to this altar? He said, if you will, I will. If you'll honor the word and give it a prominent placement, I'll pour out my glory upon your church. Can you move right now to this altar and lift your hands and say, Lord, I will give the word of God a prominent place in Bible holiness. Lord, I will give your presence a prominent placement. I'll give it the main attraction. I'll let it be the number one thing in our church. Let us be true Bible, true holiness, for that is a true church. Hallelujah. And Lord, would you then send your powerful presence among us and give us revival in this last hour, Lord. Oh God, let the Shekinah glory come in. Lord. Receive it, Lord.
I'd rather
seal it, oh Lord, and by the holiness, God,
than have riches.
Seal it, Lord, and by the holiness this morning.
Oh, I'd rather have Jesus.
Seal it in our hearts.
Than houses or
seal
land.
Seal it in our spirits, Lord.
I'd rather be led by His nail-scarred hand than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus.